May 18, 1972. I am S.J. Neer, born January 11, 1891, on a farm about 1 mile east of Leighton, Missouri, Johnson County. Since I have given my private herbarium of about 1,800 species of native plants and accessories to the McPherson College City Museum, I thought it might be of interest that I give a little background of some of the things that are connected with the herbarium. I will give a brief statement of my formal education, and second, my work in teaching, and third will be about the herbarium itself, including its assembly and being in my will for the past 15 years, and why McPherson College Museum was chosen, and then the fourth will be a short postlude. I suppose you could say I was an average, normal child. I had to work for what I got. I was not considered a dunce, and yet I was not a genius. I attended the country school the first years of my life. I had to walk about a mile and a half to Old Lone Valley School, north and east of us, and I walked every day except the very worst type of weather, when my father would take me to school or come after me if it was pouring down rain or extremely cold or the snow was very deep. And we did have some pretty good snows. And I finished the eighth grade in the country school. That was about the year 1909, when I was 18 years old. I remember that we went to school in the country school, and most folks until they were around 18 to 20 and even 21, up to 21 years of age. There were some mighty big boys in school there, and some of the older girls, I can remember, full-grown folks. Well, the grades were not just like they are now. We took the subjects that the teacher wanted to teach, and we had readers, first reader, second reader, and when we'd get through with that, we'd take the third reader and so on. And it was about the time that I was what we might call in the eighth grade. They were beginning to grade our school there. And we had to take a county examination to get our eighth grade certificate. And of course, we had to have the subjects, and those were not all given in 1 year or 2 years, and so it spread over possibly a three-year period. So sometimes I say I was in the eighth grade for 3 years. Well, I took the county examination and got my certificate in the spring of 1909. You might also remember that our term was not 9 months long. We had a short 5 month winter term, and most of us boys that were old enough to work on the farm only went for 5 months. And in the spring then there was a short 2 month term, and that was for the girls, and also for those that were not old enough to do farm work and so forth. Well, the next year, I decided to go to Leighton, Missouri High School, which was about a mile from home. And of course, I walked up the railroad track every day to that, and they were only offering the ninth grade in that high school. That's all I could get. So the following spring, I made a decision. I wanted to go to a way to school someplace so I could say I'd had more than the ninth grade education. So I finally decided to go to Mount Morris College, Mount Morris, Illinois, and take some academy work there. Now, Mount Morris was Church of the Brethren school, and it is about 500 miles from home and about 100 miles west of Chicago. And I went up there on the train, and the first 2 weeks there, I was so homesick, I just couldn't eat nor sleep. And every time I'd hear that train whistle starting toward Kansas City, tears would come in my eyes, and I would just long to be on that train going home. But as I got acquainted for a couple of weeks, this gradually wore off, and I began to like it, and I stayed with it the half year. I went home on Christmas vacation and liked it so well that I went back to finish, so to make a whole year of work there. And while I was there, I was taking one half year's work in zoology and a half year's work in botany. And among some other subjects I took, several Bible subjects, the Acts under Professor Emmert, and there's one or two others there in that year and also the next year. But when I went back home on the train the following spring, I could see hundreds and hundreds of flowers in bloom I had never seen before in my life. I thought about a dozen or 15 was the limit of the different species of plants until I took that little course in botany. And it was there that I began to get my eyes open, and the interest grew very rapidly in nature study, and I've pursued it ever since, and I've certainly got a lifetime of enjoyment from the studies of nature. I also took a course in expression. Now, that expression course was very similar, I presume, to our public speaking courses now, dramatics and so on. And I liked that, and so I went back the second year, largely, to finish that expression course. And I did finish and got my pen and my diploma, and I've been giving some of the readings and things that I learned there ever since. And I might tell you about Pointer's dyspeptic goat sometime. Well, my next schooling then was in the fall of 1917. I decided to go to McPherson College. And there I finished the academy that year and took a few courses in college credit, so that I graduated from the academy in 1918, the spring of 1918, at the age of 27 years. And I wanted to go back, so I went back for a freshman year in college, never expecting to go anymore. And my whole course, the whole educational course was very hectic and hit and miss all the way through, because I could never see my way ahead from one year to the next. partly on account of finances and partly because I had no special encouragement to go. But I did go. I went the second year then as a sophomore, and by that time I had decided I was going to try to finish college. And so I took the other 2 years. It was a hard pull. I was married. My wife was doing the cooking, helping us, and was started a family. Merlin was born there in McPherson College, 1921, the first child that was born in the new hospital, the new county hospital at McPherson, Kansas. And I finished, graduated in 1922 with a major in biological science, and also had enough work for a major in philosophy and theology, and a minor in industrial arts. I had planned all during the college work to enter the ministry, and was preparing for it too along the way. But when I got through with my degree, I was in debt clear to my neck, and had scrimped and saved and borrowed and worked out all I could. I worked there at Peterson Modine's grocery store on Saturdays for quite some time. Go there at noon and work until 11 o'clock that night. And also did some farm work outside and whatever I could do. And of course I got some help from home. That is, in the way of foods and money, borrowed money. And we were so hard up that we couldn't afford the tuition for my wife while she was there, so she could only take a very few courses. She took one or two in music and home ec, but she had to get her college education after I was out and teaching. So she went back, I think it was either 9 or 10 summers after that, and finished up for her degree and BS degree in music and home ec. The following year, I went a half year more because I decided I'd better teach a while to get some of these debts paid off. And so I had to take a few educational courses, and also took some more science, and I got my BS degree then, enough credits for that. And that was the end of McPherson training there. Then in 1929, I decided to get my master's degree, and I was out teaching then, and I decided that I'd like to have a master's degree, and it worked out that it would come best in botany with philosophy and education, philosophy and theology as a part of the educational credits. And so I went 3 summers there and 1 seminar, and had a wonderful time. And in the spring of 33, then I was granted my master's degree in botany. And my thesis was on laboratory equipment for the laboratory equipment in botany for the small high schools of western Kansas. And then, as I was teaching some years later, I had to take some summer school work. I went to Warrensburg Teachers College, Warrensburg, Missouri, in the summer of 24, and took courses in physics because I had to teach physics the next year. And I took, I think, 3 courses, radio and light and sound and mechanics, those courses in physics. Then later, I took one summer at Pittsburgh, Kansas, and one summer's work at Springfield, Missouri, Southwest Missouri State College. And in the meantime, while I was teaching, I took several correspondence courses and worked out a credit in mathematics, that is, for enough for a major, so I could say actually that I had credits enough for about 6 majors. My total credits amounted to 220 hours. I think that's about the end of this side of the tape, so you can turn the tape over now. Now you can see that with this sort of hit and miss lack of plan in my educational work, that I could easily leave out something. There was 2 things that I left out. One was in 1913, I went to the Warrensburg Teachers College for 1 year and 1 summer to get my rural school certificate. Then long about summer of 22, I think, I'm not sure which summer it was, I attended school out at Palmer Lake, Colorado, under Dr. Neininger as principal of this extension school out there. And I took a double course in taxonomic botany and a course in geology. And it was there that I found so much fun in God's flower garden, just acres and acres of hundreds of species of flowers in bloom. And I think I did get around 200 or 300 of them, but I couldn't keep up with them. There's just so many species blooming that it was impossible to keep up, and I put in long days working at it. Now let's see if I can remember my teaching experience. The first year that I ever taught school was in the fall of 1913. I got a school out 12 miles east of Carthage, about 2 miles southeast of a little town, Avila. My uncle was a bachelor, Uncle Zach Neer was a bachelor, and he lived a quarter of a mile north of Avila, and he wanted me to come down and batch with him one winter and teach school. So I did. And I bought me a bicycle, and I rode the bicycle. It was 2 miles every day, all winter, fall and spring, to teach this school. That was a 7-month school, and I got the exorbitant sum of $40 a month, $280 for the year. And, of course, that helped pay my groceries and my clothes and expenses, and paid off some of my school debts and money that I'd borrowed of my dad, and had money to spare. About all we had to eat that winter was cornbread, because that's about all we baked. But it was good. We made it out of sour cream, and we ate cornbread for breakfast, dinner, and supper. I didn't want any cornbread after that year for a little while, but it wasn't long till I liked it as well as I ever did. Please pass the cornbread. Then the next year, I got promoted. There was a school up near my old home, near Leeton, about 5 miles northwest of town, the Gladden School, that wanted me to come up there, and they offered me $5 a month raise, so I got $45 a month that year. And my wife and I stayed at home. We were married in 1914, the 30th of December, And we stayed in Grandpa and Grandma's old house. My grandmother had just died, and Grandfather was living over the other side of the yard with my folks. So I drove a one horse and a cart 6 miles northwest, facing that north wind all winter. And boo, it was cold. Well, let's see. Then I didn't teach anymore till I got through college, and that was in 1923. I taught my first year in high school at Durham, Kansas. And I was there then a second year, in 24. I'll not relate all the places that I had taught. I was at Portis, Kansas, for 5 years, and it was very enjoyable work there. And it was while I was there that I spent 2 summers surveying the county of Osborne for plants. And my two boys and I would take the old Model A and we'd go out every day. And while I would be hunting wildflowers, or they'd be hunting bugs and snakes and whatnot, and we had a great time. This was done in connection with Dr. Gates at Manhattan. It was through him that gave me the inspiration to do this. And I gave them one specimen of everything that I collected, and I kept another specimen. So most of my herbarium is from Kansas, much of it from Missouri, and scattering parts of it from all over the United States, and possibly a few from Canada and Mexico, and maybe from some other foreign countries. I think that I got a few in trade at the Manhattan from Egypt or somewhere in the area. Well, let's see. I took my master's degree, as I said, I believe in 1929 to 33 in the summers. And while I was attending school there in the summers, I was also assistant in the botany department of the Fort Hays State College. And I graded many of the papers and all the plant collections from the other students for my professor, Dr. A.W. Barton. I might say that out of the 34 years that I taught, I think 21 years was taught in Kansas schools, and 1 year in Colorado, and the rest of them in Missouri. Now about the herbarium itself, I don't consider it any great thing. 1,800 species is a very small drop in the bucket compared to 300,000 species that are available, but it does represent a large segment of my life since 1910, and I've always wanted it to go to some college if it was worthy of that or worthwhile, and I hope that some good use can be made of it. I found pleasure in collecting plants along. I always took a book with me, an old catalog or some papers or something, on every trip that I went anywhere in a car. And when I was in the field working, I'd carry a killing bottle in my pocket, because occasionally one would find an insect that he'd never seen before and never would see again. So we have to be prepared for those things. I made me a vasculum when I was in school, and I'll probably turn that over to the museums in a year or two. I still want to go to a few camps. And as I've gone to about two or three young people's camps every summer for the last 13 years, I have collected some plants at each place over various places over the state of Missouri. And when I was down in Texas, I took a book along and collected some down there and some down in Mexico and so on. When I took a long trip, I always put a box in the car with wet sacks in it so that I could bring back plants, collect all day and bring back plants, and even keep them for another day if necessary, keep them moist, and they'll not wilt down. When a plant gets too wilted down, why, it's worthless, because you can't straighten it out again very well. Now, there's plants of all sizes in this collection. I have the Cannabis sativa, and I never heard it called marijuana until just a couple of years ago, but I had collected it way back about 30 or 40 years ago. And one of the tiniest plants is Zanichelaceae hippotamogeton angustifolium, but I didn't get the angustifolium. I did get the hippotamogeton americana, I think you'll find in this set. You take the Salsola pestifer and the Tribulus terrestris, they're both not very pleasant to handle, and they're quite common in Kansas, so we have neither of them in this area of Missouri. Now, I want to say that while I was in Hayes Teachers College there, Dr. Rydberg, a professional taxonomic botanist who has written a number of keys on the plants of this area, he was there, and I asked him to check my herbarium over, and he did. So everything that I had mounted up to that time, that was about 1932 possibly, and he made two or three corrections. One of them was quite amusing to me because I found a plant that looked to me like a thistle. It was thorny, the leaves were thorny in the edges, just like a thistle and all. And I had put it in the thistle family, and turned out to be that it was in the Amiaceae or carrot family. Now, I believe that some good can come from this herbarium. I hope that some college botany classes and some students will have interest enough in it that they will finish up this herbarium. I intended to do a lot more work on it, to mount up everything that I had collected that wasn't mounted, and also to make a new labeling system and make it more uniform and a little neater. But my eyes failed me about a year ago, and I'm absolutely unable to do that. I can barely read at all. And that will be a good project, it seems to me, for some students that are interested in botany and plant life. And I have a lot of duplicates, boxes of them, in which I intended to do a lot of trading, but I put it off too long, and I didn't get much of that done. So these might be distributed to some students who are making their own herbariums and collections, and I would hope that before many years that this will be completed and be in much better shape and more presentable even than it is now. The reason I use notebooks is because it was so handy. I carried my little herbarium with me as I taught from place to place until it became too burdensome, and then I finally made a cabinet and left most of them at home and just took two or three notebooks with me to show the students how to work it. It was about 1930 when I was teaching at Portis that I worked out a point system in teaching biology that seemed to work very well and grew like wildfire. students would make points, and they would make them in their own choice of fields or areas. I had about 13 different areas, all the way from drawings and reports and field works and collections and dissections and field trips, gave credit for every field trip, and animals and things that we couldn't collect if we saw them. Well, there were so many points for the one that first saw them, and points for the total number in the group that we saw, and various things like that. And we had our first beginning of the year, I would let them vote on I'd explain it to them, this system of points, and let them vote on it. And I never did have any class to turn it down. And we chose up on sides the beginning of the year. We gave a name to each side, and we run competition. The side that had the fewest number of points at the end of the year, that's about a week or 10 days before school was out, was to give a feed to the winning side. And so there was a lot of fun in that competition. In the plants, I always made some special points for that. The first flower in the spring, the first wildflower in the spring that was brought in would get a big number of points. Well, my tape's nearly all. I must bring this to a close. I want to say that I love nature and I love flowers, and more especially the wildflowers. I hope that when my time comes to go to the great beyond, my casket will be adorned only with a small bouquet of wildflowers. My favorite scripture, man shall not live by bread alone. And another equal to it, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing this great world of truth. From Missouri.